Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send us a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Oh, yes, people are saying, say about the prior shows. Hello. I see we have lots of folk. Thank you very much for being here. So let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about feeling appreciation, feeling appreciated. And it's always nice to be appreciated for all the good things that we do. But let's talk about it specifically. Let's think about what is our goal and how we can achieve it. Yes. So, yes, as we often do, a lot of you are already answering the question already. This is a good sign. So our base question is going to be, what do we appreciate about being a leader? Because we are. What do we appreciate about being a leader? Let's think about that specifically so that we can see, well, how good it is, really, for one thing. But what is it that we're going to do? I'm going to say that our first topic, because, of course, this is an unscripted show and we go where we take us, I'm going to say it's the ability to make a difference is something that we appreciate as a leader. But just kind of the ability to make a difference. Uh-huh. And that ties in with the ability to help others, to really help someone, to really make a difference and to help others, right? Yeah, an opportunity to help. Mm-hmm. This is a good point, too. We appreciate, as leaders, the trust that is placed in us to lead. Somebody trusted us. Somebody chose us to lead. Wow. We really appreciate that, that they really have that kind of confidence in us, right? Yeah. Let's talk about reputation. We appreciate our reputation and what we do to enhance it, right? Yeah, that's a good one, too. We appreciate our reputation. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about appreciating the opportunity to teach and the opportunity to model empathy, right? And to teach empathy, to teach how to get to that point and what we should do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we're going to talk about what we appreciate as leaders, right? But what do we appreciate about our participants? Yeah. Not just about us, the leader, and how we lead and how we need to be aware of what we're doing, but what about our participants? What do we appreciate about our participants? Yeah. Okay. Quite a few people are going to make this number one because it's kind of whichever is the most popular answer. A lot of folk are talking that we appreciate their appreciation of us as leaders. We appreciate their appreciation of us as leaders. What a good idea. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about respect for abilities. Yeah, that we appreciate and they appreciate respect for abilities, our abilities and others too. Let's talk about that. How about responsiveness? Yeah, we like it when we have responsiveness, right? And assignment completion, yes. Mm-hmm. What do we appreciate about our participants? How about honesty? Yeah, we'd like to really know what they want, really know what they think, right? Yeah. And we also appreciate their willingness to compromise and reach consensus, right? A willingness to really work together, to compromise and reach consensus. That's important too, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about leader appreciation first, about what do we appreciate about being a leader. The first up was make a difference, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of you are talking about the fact that sometimes something is wrong and it needs to be righted. It needs to be, somebody needs to step up and say, you know, I know that we've done this all the time, but let's think about it now. Yes, thank you. Elizabeth and others are saying sometimes that is caused by the fact that whatever is being done, it's been done forever, but it's become outdated. And in our modern world, of course, things move kind of fast, and things get outdated. They're not worth anything. They're not what they once were. Okay, it's not that they're not worth anything exactly, but they've become outdated, and you need to do something about it. Yeah. Pardon me. Took a sip of water there. Shows it's a live show, right? Right. So, yeah, and that's making a difference. You step up and you say, you know, we're going to need to convene. We're going to need to convene a committee, whatever it is. I see that sometimes corporate, in corporate culture. Something has been done the same way, or the same general idea, forever and ever, especially with multinational corporations that have been in business a long time. It's a tradition. It's ingrained. It's how we always do it. But gosh, things have changed. Maybe that's not how we should always do it anymore, and we need to revisit the reasons that we have this policy and what we should do about it now. Is it still valid? Is it something that we need to reconsider? Yeah. And so that's making a difference by initiating something, right? Yeah. And what's something to appreciate about being a leader is we have the ability to initiate. We have the ability to have the thought process, the ability to say, you know, I will lead the initiative, but this is what needs to be done. We need to reconsider. We need to think about what the future idea is, right? Right. Yeah. So we need to make a difference by maybe reconsidering something that's always been. Mm-hmm. Yes, Muhammad says it's a change of culture, and this is really true. It might be with a group, and it might be an ethnic preconceived notion, perhaps, that needs to be changed because the world has changed, right? And who we deal with has changed, and how we view the world has changed, right? It might be corporate. Mm-hmm. You might need to go out and you say, you know, that is not good for business now. Let's make a difference. Or maybe there's some sort of a corporate act that is, well, not so good for the world or for the environment. And we need to change that too. Sometimes our processes are what needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Change does come slowly. This is true. And it's been pointed out that especially with big organizations, they don't generally change unless they perceive a need, right? And sometimes that need is because something they are doing has been brought to the public's attention, especially with consumer goods, consumer companies, right? And even non-consumer, the public has quite a bit of sway nowadays. And the internet tells people all kinds of stuff. And sometimes the stuff is true and it needs to be changed. It's just that, well, things have been going on and they've been going along and, well, change is hard for a lot of organizations and they don't do it willingly. So sometimes something has to happen, but it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it really makes a difference in the world, too. Let's go for opportunity to help others, which is our next topic. It's kind of similar to making a difference, isn't it? Because if you help someone, it makes a difference to them. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a good point, and I'm quite a believer in it. There's an old expression that may be an Americanism, but people using it, and it probably translates into every place. What goes around comes around. If you help someone, even if it doesn't seem at the moment that you will in any way get anything out of it, they will find a way to help you back, even if it's to tell your story. and we're going to be talking about reputation a little further down the line and how we appreciate a good reputation, well, maybe that's what you'll get from helping someone else, right? It might not be money. It might not be something real tangible. But what goes around comes around. And I am a believer in helping people because I can. And I think that that is the way to make a good reputation, which we're about to talk about. People are talking about the concept of karma, which is kind of the concept of what goes around comes around. Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of in a very generic do good and good will come your way type way, and do evil and bad things will happen eventually. I'm not so certain that it lines up real carefully, but I do think that if you're going to make a reputation in the world, that you should think about doing something good for someone else, to help someone. Yeah, to help a group maybe, to not necessarily an individual, but to help effectuate some sort of change that needs to be done. And you can really help with that. You can really help with consensus building and like that because you're experienced and you're good at it, right? Yeah. This is a good point, too. When you help others, Theo and others are saying that you also gain experience. Yeah. And sometimes you gain experience in areas that you aren't particularly known for. Because once you get into the business and you get success, then every time somebody has the same type of problem that you've solved before, they call you in because they know you're good at it, right? But it is nice to gain experience in other areas too, something that interests you maybe. Something that's to your heart, something that you would like to see done, right? Yeah. You know, this is a good point, too. Padma and others are saying that if you help others, you have an opportunity to reach outside your comfort zone. Reach outside your comfort zone. Yes. Do something that you wouldn't ordinarily think is your area of expertise. And then you find out that really it is, because you're quite good at it, because leadership is the main thing that is needed. Because we can look up, we can research the technicalities, the facts, the what the law is, for example. But to be able to really help someone, you can go outside of your comfort zone, right? Yeah. What else do we appreciate as leaders? We appreciate the trust that someone has had in us. Yes, they've trusted us with helping them. They've trusted us to be the person that can really get the job done, can really work out what needs to be done within a timely manner and really do it and get people to reach consensus and reach beyond their own comfort zones too, which is oftentimes what we ask our participants to do. To reach outside their comfort zone, right? Ah, comfort zone is kind of an Americanism. It really means that to expand our abilities, to tackle issues, to really look for solutions in ways that we haven't done before. Because our comfort zone is the way we've always done it. Yeah, we know how to do this because we've always done it this way. But look, things have changed. Maybe circumstances have changed. Maybe technology has changed. Maybe the world has changed, right? And we need to expand what we want to do. We need to look beyond what's just always been done, right? And to find a way. Yeah, in a sense, it's thinking outside the box, which I wasn't sure wasn't another Americanism. But it means to really look for solutions outside of the norm that we're comfortable with and is our first go-to, which is why it's called a comfort zone. Yeah. So opportunity to help others, sometimes that makes us reach outside our comfort zone, reach outside our area of expertise maybe, and gain a new one. Right? Yeah. The next topic is trust, that we appreciate that someone has put the trust in us to be their leader, which is very, very important and very, well, flattering. Yeah, I suppose that's true. But something to really be appreciated, right? Somebody has entrusted us with finding a solution. This is true. Annika and others are saying that you get repeat clients because of that trust. Yeah, because people say, look, I know that this person can help us because I've seen her do it. I've seen it done. I was a participant in a different group, but she's really good. And you should have her come and help you, right? Yeah. So you get repeat clients and you get more clients. And also your clients, next time they have some sort of a difficulty, well, they'll be sure and call you because you're really good at it. You're really good at getting people together. You're really good at the mediation, at the consensus building. We reached a successful outcome within a reasonable amount of time. And we did something that not everybody does. The outcome was successful, not just on paper, but could really be worked with, right? Could really be handled, could really be useful, could really be a practical solution, and not just something that seems pretty and we ended it, but it's not what we had in mind. You know, it didn't quite translate into the real world. No, we want to have a practical solution, a successful outcome that truly is a success, and get something done. It makes a difference, right? It helps others, right? Yeah. So you get, when your clients and your whoever it is, well, your client is the person that really brings you in, right? And the participants, they trust you. Well, they'll trust you again because you've done it successfully. Mm-hmm. This is a good point, too, that Lee says sometimes that you have a trust, an appreciation of trust, because you help your participants reach consensus, and then they will trust the leader to lead, right? Trust the leader to lead. We've dealt with you. You're really good at this. You've helped us to come together. We trust you. We will follow you, right? We'll trust you to lead us. We'll trust you to tell us if this is right, is what to do, right? Yeah. This is true, too. People are talking about what I'm going to call leadership style, because to be trusted to lead and just say what it is we're going to do next is a very different kind than to have a more democratic, everybody talks about it, and then we decide together and we reach consensus type leadership. Neither one has more trust than the other, because they trust you to be the leader of the discussion, to make everybody to help everyone understand what needs to be done, to keep the process moving forward. It's a great deal of trust. They're different leadership styles is what they are. Yeah. Suki says that it depends on what the client with the participants need, right? What the clients and participants need depends on your leadership style. Now, not extremely. I mean, if you're really set on a leadership style and you need to modify slightly, that's okay. But if you are truly can only lead in one way and it's not what's needed, you should recuse yourself and say that maybe someone else should come in, because we're not going to be able to reach consensus and a successful outcome, right? Yeah, your leadership style, especially as you get more experience, will kind of modify as you deal with different groups, deal with different clients, really different organizations, excuse me. You will modify slightly as to what they need so that you can get your successful outcome and move on, right? Some corporate cultures that I've seen, some kind of cultural groups, ethnic type groups, different parts of the world, have a different idea of what a leader does. Now, in the United States, depending on the corporate culture, of course, we do a lot of talking. It's kind of a time-consuming process, but we kind of do everything by democracy, right? We vote, we have subcommittees, we make it's a wonder we ever get anywhere. But we do, because you have a strong leader who keeps everybody going forward is the key to it. Doesn't exactly tell them what to do outright, but keeps the whole process moving forward kind of at a good pace so that we get somewhere, for God's sake, and we move on to the next thing, right? Yeah, and that's the trick, right? But the trick is that everybody has to think that they had enough input and that their idea was really, really part of it, but that we get it done within a reasonable time, for heaven's sakes. Some corporate cultures, some actual cultures, some groups, really want the they have some discussion, and we discuss the pros and cons and like that. But when it comes down to it, and we discuss the issues, yes, when it comes down to it, they really want a leader to tell them what to do. Yeah, we have considered all the angles. Tell us what you think. Use your expertise and your leadership skills and lead us. Tell us what to do. Those are not directly opposite leadership styles necessarily. You just have to understand that they're different needs. That's different, and there's stuff in between, too, where you need to exercise your authority as a leader in order to keep it moving, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons they trust you. They trust that it is not for your own benefit or for the benefit of one side or another. It is for the benefit of the whole, because they trust that you're a third party impartial and you have everybody's good interests in mind, right? We're just trying to get this done. We're going to try to get this forward. We're going to try to get this to finish, right? Yeah. And that's where reputation comes in, which is our next topic. Yay! That as leader, you appreciate your reputation, right? That others, how others view you is your reputation. How clients view you. How participants view you. How everybody views you has to do with your reputation, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways is to really be cognizant of the trust that's placed in you, because then people will refer out to you. You'll get repeat clients, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about using media to spread the word of your reputation and how good you are. The answer is yes, without violating client confidentiality, right? Right, because that's the tricky part. But others, in order to have a good reputation, other people need to know about it, right? And so a lot of times people use media after the fact, not during, because that might send a skewed message. But after we've reached our successful outcome, it doesn't hurt to be remarked upon as the leader, the team leader, the person that got it put all together, even though the parties looked far apart and like there was not going to be a consensus. And then lo and behold, you managed to put it together and there was one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So use media to spread the word. Use media to find out, look, we've really got this. We are going forward. Yay. Yeah. We're really going to be able to make this successful, which is the key to it. Mm-hmm. So use the media to spread the word. Mm-hmm. Ah, good point. Hussein and others are talking about when you're doing a group and you're dealing with the media, that you need a designated spokesperson. Thank you. We have talked about this before. Our prior shows archived on the website. recipeforpeacenow.com, right? Yeah. And we have actually talked about this, and it's very important when you're doing the mediation, when you're in process. I do not allow people to sit there and text and blog and like that, and I ask them not to do it totally. We're still in process, people. It's not a pretty picture. And whatever you put down in writing is liable to be misunderstood because it's in writing. Or what you think now, what we think the path is now, may need to modify as we get further along and we really figure things out. Also very important to not have it reported upon kind of halfway, right? No, that's no good. We want to be finished. And when we talk to the media, not even the regular media, the old-fashioned kind, any kind of media, when somebody asks us, somebody asks our opinion, somebody wants to know about what we're doing, let's designate a media spokesperson so that our message is clean and not kind of ciphered through everybody's opinion and everybody's kind of lack of communication skills. Let's decide what we want to say as a group, right? And then let's present it by having a designated spokesperson. Frequently, as Hussein recommends, yes, that designated spokesperson is us. It's the leader. And that's fabulous for our reputation, right? Because we're in front of the public. We're in front of the media. We're the voice of, well, it's voice of change, voice of reason, voice of something good, right? We are the person who is putting this together and getting all sides to agree. Nothing wrong with people knowing that. So designated spokesperson is a good way. It's a true statement. Mm-hmm. Yes, Stephen and others are talking about having a reputation in the community by volunteering. Yeah. Especially as we talked about for something that you need some experience in, right? And outside your comfort zone. Reputation in the community by volunteering. Then people think very highly of you because you are a person of principle and you volunteered to help and it was successful, right? Yeah, so that volunteering is a really good way to get your name and your reputation out in front of the community, right? So that people know who you are, so people know who to turn to when things get dicey, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true, too. Volunteering is a good way to gain experience. And then that's kind of added to your bag of abilities, right? Yeah, especially if you're kind of starting out, and I know some of you are. It'll gain you experience in your preferred area. And then people go, wow, he or she's really good. Yeah, and we've got the same kind of problem, and I saw that worked out. Let's call him or her in, right? Let's see what they have to say. Let's pay them this time, right? Because it is a business thing and not just something that needs to have volunteer hours, like a charity or something that's a grassroots group. Right? Something that some group that seeks to change some injustice, but doesn't really have funding, or at least not funding for paying you, really. So, and everybody's a volunteer, right? Yeah. And so it's a rather good thing. Our next topic is the opportunity to teach. Yes, please. How will people know how to act? How will people know how to get together? How will people know what needs to be done if they never see it, right? And it's a good opportunity. And if you teach, if you spread, you'll spread the idea of what to do. You'll spread good works, right? Yes. This is actually kind of true. George and others say that teaching pays so little that it kind of is like volunteering. Well, kind of. But you're really teaching people to go out into the world and do a mighty fine thing. And we can all appreciate that that's a good idea. Yeah. It is true that when I teach, I make about 79 cents an hour because I really look at it and think about it and like that. But, yeah, so an opportunity to teach, an opportunity to really do something, to really help people, right? Yeah, and spread good work. Mm-hmm. People are talking about interns. Mm-hmm. And the idea that you use interns in order to teach, that you teach your interns and like that. It is one of the reasons that interns come to you and come to our organization so they can learn how it really works from the ground up. They can really see decisions being made, understand how to keep the process going. It's kind of something that's good to see, right? And to understand how to deal with participants and to deal with each other, right? It's a learning experience. Usually always, our interns are graduate students and above. Some of them are doctoral. Because we like people who are kind of adults. I don't know how to say that better. But you understand what I mean. They have some life experience. They have worked someplace before. And like, we don't do high school interns. They take too much watching. They take too much training. Because they have no life experience. They don't know how things work, right? And so interns are not a bad idea, and they do give you an opportunity to teach. But remember that they need some time because they're there to learn. And you have to tell them what's going on and how they fit into it and how the parts come together, right? Yes. And then when they're given a task, especially when they are new to you, you have to kind of keep track of them and make sure that they've understood what it is they're supposed to do, right? They've understood it. They understand what it is that I'm supposed to be, what my outcome should be, what it is that I'm supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, if you'd like interns, you should put aside some time to train them, to teach them, because that's what they're there for. They usually get college credit, and they are there to have a learning experience, and it's very important. Yes, I think that it is extremely important to have students like that who you can actually help, actually mold. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can help it. In my opinion, and this is my opinion due to experience, it's best if not everybody is an intern or a volunteer. And you should have interns. One of the requirements should be that they need to stay for a year. We do have that requirement. They can't leave every quarter because by the time we've got them sufficiently trained, poof, they're gone. Yeah, so we need to get some benefit too. So we ask that they be allowed to stay, to re-up and stay for four quarters or semesters or whatever it is that equals about a year. And then if they can't get credit for it anymore, which sometimes they've maxed out their intern credit, not always, it depends on the program, then they will sometimes, in fact, they oftentimes stay on as volunteers. But they're fabulous volunteers because they've already been trained, right? Right. I like to, if you can possibly swing it from a monetary basis, it's very good to have at least one paid, very efficient personnel to keep track of things so that you don't kind of get swamped and not know what's going on. Yeah, I think it's important to try to get that budgeted, to try to get an actual mine doesn't have a title really, but if she had a title, it might be office manager. But that doesn't really say as much as she does because she really keeps track of the process. And that's very important to really keep track of what on earth is going on. What is it that we need to do? What is it that we are tasked with, right? And she also keeps track of the teams to make sure that they are working together and they're not doing something sideways that's not useful. You ever see people work really hard, but it's not of any use whatsoever, but they have worked hard at it? That's not a good thing. What's the point? We don't want to waste our time and go off kind of sideways, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have somebody who keeps track of everything, and you're going to be too busy because you're the leader. You're leading all kinds of groups and all kinds of seminars and workshops and like that. You're too busy. You need to have somebody who keeps track of the nitty-gritty day-to-day. Mm-hmm. Opportunity to teach. People are talking about molding the next generation, yeah, to really, really get them to know what it is that they're supposed to do. This is a very good point, too. Lou and others are saying that you don't just mold the next generation. You mold the present generation and the older generation, too, out of their preconceived notions. Yes. You don't want to just deal with your interns and with people who are first coming in and they don't have bad habits, maybe. But you want to deal with everybody and mold them out of their preconceived notions, as Lou says, right? Very important that you not have a preconceived notion about who can learn, right? We can all learn, and we'd like to. It's just people don't give us enough credit. Mm-hmm. Our next topic is that if we appreciate the ability to teach empathy, right? Which is what we're really teaching. We're not teaching a set of rules on how to do mediation or consensus building, because there is no set of rules. I mean, there is the civility rules, which overlie everything. For those who are new, and civility rules are always everywhere in our world, a recipe for peace now, the civility rules basically say we will not be rude to one another. We will take turns speaking. We will not sigh, roll our eyes, do any of those body language nasty things. We will not try to bully someone. We will take our turn, and then we will get somebody else their turn, right? Right? Yeah, they are, the civility rules are we will be civil, right? Yes. And we as leaders must model the civility rules. And they must be announced, right? Because that's transparency. And then enforced immediately, consistently, and fairly. Immediately, consistently, and fairly. Mm-hmm. You can't lapse. And you can't bring out the civility rules after things have become uncivil. No, they have to be announced right away, and you need to enforce them right away so that we all understand that is not appropriate behavior and will not be tolerated. Mm-hmm. Very important. The immediate part is very important and oftentimes overlooked. Mm-hmm. Yes, needs to be enforced now. It needs to be done with fairness. And even if you have to do it a gazillion times, well, here goes gazillion and one. Uh-huh. So you need to be able to, if one of the things you need to teach is civility. Because sometimes that's the problem. You've got a bully. You've got someone who doesn't want other people's opinions to be heard, other people's side, right? Mm-mm-mm-mm. We're all going to take turns. We're all going to get the same amount of time. And we're going to go forward together as a group. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we're also going to have to teach empathy, which is our next area of discussion. And remember that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Yeah, understanding, not necessarily agreement. Mm-hmm. How do we teach empathy? Yes, thank you. lots of you are telling me the 5W questions. Yes, thank you for having listened all these times. Prior shows archived on our website, because we do shows up just on empathy, are archived on the website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com, right? And in order to teach empathy, we're going to talk about the 5W questions. They are who, what, where, when, and why. Who, what, where, when, and why. We ask these questions not necessarily in that order, not necessarily all at once, not necessarily all of the questions, but basically we want to hear the answers to all of them. We want to have the answers so that we can understand why somebody holds that position, right? Why that is their opinion. Who told you that? What was said? What was the conclusion? Where did you hear it? When did you find that out? And why do you think this, right? Asked in a non-judgmental manner so that we can truly get the answers. And we can find out, hopefully, that we are closer than we thought, right? We have the same core values. We need to talk about how to get them to fruition, how to get them to a successful outcome. Yeah. Yeah, that's really the key to it. How do we work together now that we know stuff? So let's talk about our participants who are answering these 5W questions, right? And their appreciation. What should they appreciate? We talked about appreciation of the leader, right? As our number one thing. We appreciate it when they appreciate us. And how do they show this? Yes, thank you. People are saying by enthusiasm. Yes. Your group will be enthusiastic. They will come on time. They will stay late. They will really want to get this done because they really appreciate you as a leader. Sometimes they even tell you right outright. In fact, a lot of times they do. They tell you how much they appreciate you being there and giving your time and really helping them get it straightened out, right? Yes, fabulous. They appreciate you because of your efforts. Yeah. And it shows in their enthusiasm, and it shows in your enthusiasm too, right? Because we're going to also model that. We're going to model all the good things that we want our participants to do. Because how can we ask them to do something that we don't do ourselves? Like be enthusiastic, like have empathy for our fellow participants and for the leader, right? How else do participants appreciate the leader? Yeah. Zoe and others are saying by giving good reviews. Good reviews all over the place. Good reviews to the employer. Good reviews on the internet. Just good reviews. When somebody asks them, they go, yeah, man, she's really good. Yeah, I was in her last group. Whew. We really got a successful outcome within a reasonable period of time, which is, of course, always the goal, right? Yeah. And so to actually be reviewed by your participants and appreciated. How else do they appreciate you? Helen and others are talking about referrals, right? They give referrals to other people to hire you. Hey, she's fabulous. Really got us over the hump for fill in the blank. If you've got that kind of a problem, go call Sue. Here's her number. Here's her information. Right? Yeah. So you get referrals. People are really enthusiastic, and they want to tell their friends. Because a lot of times folk have friends in the same basic community, the same employment community, the same ethnic community, whatever it is, and they would like to know about someone like you. Hey, that's a good referral. We were going to use as the next one respect for abilities, right? That we appreciate the respect that you have for the abilities. Abilities of the leader, right? We are really pleased to be in this group, really proud. It's the best one we've ever dealt with. And we're really getting somewhere. We're really getting it put together, right? Yeah. So it's the appreciation and respect for the abilities of the leader. And the leader's abilities are, yeah, to lead. Sometimes I'm doing something else because I'm a multifaceted human being, right? But respect for ability might have something to do with something else I'm doing too, if I am reaching out to members of the community, for example. But that all ties in because people notice, yeah. So respect for abilities of the leader. How about respect for the abilities of each other, right? Yeah. He or she really knows their stuff. I'm glad I'm in this group with them, right? Respect for the abilities of another. And for each other, too, for each participant. How about respect for the abilities of our experts that are brought in and are held up as good examples, right? Yeah. A lot of times we call in an expert. Not so much because we can't research things, but we really need an opinion. We really need somebody to tell us what they think we should do. Sometimes it's good to call in an expert to break a stalemate, for example. Can't seem to agree. Can't seem to go forward. We're stuck. We've got a deadlock. We're having trouble going forward. Might be time to bring in an expert that everyone has respect for their abilities and therefore listen to them, right? They've done it before, the expert. They're really good at it. This is our moment. What else do we appreciate about our participants? We talked about responsiveness. We appreciate if they're responsive. Yes, Glenn and others are talking about the ability to ask questions. Should always have the ability to ask questions. Now, if it gets to a point where the questions are disruptive to the group and we've really kind of answered them seven times, you might call somebody aside privately and not hold up the whole group. But we want to be able to ask questions, so that we can get a response. I appreciate a response. Those people talk to me about transparency in the process. Yes, you have to remember when you do a group to actually tell them what's going on a regular basis, but especially beforehand. And I know that you have told what's going on, generally, 973 times, and you're bored. But they've never heard it before. Your participants have never heard it before. This might be their first time. So let's put on our enthusiasm and give them transparency in the process so they understand where stuff is. So they understand what it is they're supposed to do, right? Yeah. Appreciate responsiveness. This is a good point, too, that Lee and others are making, that we want to have responsiveness not only from just team members, but from team leaders, right? Team leaders is real important. Because they keep track of the subcommittee, so to speak, that report back to the whole. You want to keep track of the team leaders because you want them to really be capable, right? Yeah. So the team leaders need to report back and be responsive. And if you can't raise one, maybe we should find out how come. And maybe they're too busy to be a team leader. That happens sometimes. I mean, life happens, right? Of responsiveness, a lot of people are talking about keeping track of the process. We talk a lot about that, too. We touched on it earlier in this show, that somebody needs to keep track of what's going on, even when we're not meeting. There needs to be some interim reporting, so to speak, right? Yeah. And because we want to know not only are you working on it, but you're doing something that's useful, that is what we understood is what you're supposed to do. And not something kind of sideways. It kind of like, ooh, that wasn't what we had in mind. But we worked on it for 6 weeks. Well, somebody should connect much more frequently than 6 weeks to find out if we're all still working forward, if we're all still on the same page, if we're all still doing it, right? Very important, yeah, to be able to have somebody keep track. Mm-hmm. Our next topic is completing assignments. That also, just like the responsiveness and like that, that also has to do with keeping track. Mm-hmm. You get the interim reports. You go, ooh, yeah, that's fabulous, or, ooh, I'm not so sure. Let's call somebody. Let's call team leader and ask, why does it look like this? What's happening, right? Break out the 5W questions. Mm-hmm. Because they are part of a whole, the assignments, right? Yeah. And you need to know before, before they get in front of the group and go, no. You need to have kept track and know beforehand how it's going. Because how it's going is real important. And you want to be able to know that that's what's good for us. That we're all marching in the same direction is what it really is, and we're part of a whole, right? Mm-hmm. And that's towards completing assignments also. The next topic that we were going to talk about that we appreciate with our participants is to appreciate honesty. In order to get your participants to be honest, you must be honest too. It's like modeling everything else. You cannot ask them to be honest if you are not. Mm-hmm. Yes. What we'd like to be honest about. Yes. Thank you. Suki and others are saying you want to have them be honest about answering the 5W questions. Because if they're not honest about that, then you haven't gotten very far because you really don't know anything yet. Except, you know, that they weren't honest, which I suppose is something to know. But we want to have honesty always, and you must be honest with your participants, as they must be honest with you and with each other. Mm-hmm. And we want to answer the 5W questions honestly. Who, what, where, when, and why? So we can understand things and understand each other. Who, what, where, when, why? Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true too. Violet says you also appreciate honesty in opinions. Yeah, this is my honest opinion. This is what I think. And not something that I am parroting that somebody told me to say. Right? Yeah, because that's interesting too. This is my honest opinion. Mm-hmm. A lot of folk are talking about appreciating honesty when somebody gets kind of in trouble. Now, maybe not in trouble with the law or something, but more, well, that would be good too, but honesty would be good there too. But in trouble like I'm stuck, I don't know what to do next, I don't know where I'm headed, could you help me? That kind of honesty, right? And that's very important everywhere, including the corporate, because we all need to push forward. And if you hit a snag and you go, I'm stuck, I need help. Well, let's give it. Let's find it. If nobody in the group has the expertise, let's find an expert. Right? Yeah. And that's when you get stuck, you need to admit it. Yeah. And that's the first honesty. I'm stuck. And then you need to go from there. Mm-hmm. Willingness to compromise is our next one. Mm-hmm. That goes to empathy, right? That goes to having really been on the path and been efficient, right? And that goes to the understanding that we really do need to work together. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways, I have left a little bit of time this time. Yes, I know. We'll get to one recipe. Sometimes we don't get to any recipes. It's like, ah, geez, I've done it again. But we have such wonderful conversations that sometimes we run out of time. Mm-hmm. But if you, one of the ways to be able to compromise is to get to know each other a little better. You don't have to be friends, but you do need to be working participants and be able to reach a successful outcome that you all would like. It's in the details that we're getting to, right? That we're getting to that successful outcome. And one of the ways to do that is to have networking with some food. The food is a tool. Now, it might be dinner time. I mean, you might be hungry. But the food is a tool to enable us to talk about something that we're not going to be pissed off about, right? That we're not going to be mad or fight in any way. How'd you make that? What is that? This looks fabulous. Maybe we could even, if we have the facilities, we might even be able to prep some stuff and make something, a stir fry, for example, right in the room. That's always fun. It keeps people together. It keeps them in the room. It keeps them from blogging when they go outside and pretend to smoke and then they blog. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have some food. If we're going to have a food, we're going to have a survey, and we're going to ask if anybody has any allergies, any prohibitions, or some sort of food they just don't eat, right? Yeah. And then we're also going to ask people when they bring the food to bring a list, not what's it called, but what is in it, so that I can determine if I can eat this and if I'm fairly confident or if it's something I've never heard of and I have to think about it, right? Right. So the food is a way to get us to talk to each other. Now, I think that we should have some safe dishes in the room, and a safe dish is one that is something that my people would have eaten before, and we're certain that nobody in the group can't eat it, right? And so that goes to the list. Now, we're going to do the safe one first. Maybe we have room for two. I'm not certain about our timing, but the safe one this time is chicken salad. Yeah. Chicken salad. Now, I'm loath to say this because I don't want you to make anybody sick, but you're all sensible people. This is a fabulous recipe. It's very simple, very traditional. It's fabulous for leftovers that are still good, right? Remember refrigeration and like that. You don't want to have something that's crummy. But it's good for cooked chicken, cooked turkey, cooked ham, maybe cooked beef if you kind of shredded it. I don't know about that much. But any kind of a thing like that, hey, fabulous. So let's have a couple of cups of cooked chicken breast that we're going to chop up, cube up into small cubes, right? Well, as much as you've got, you can just add extra dressing ingredients, whatever you need. A small amount will serve, I don't know, not too terrible many people. It depends if you're making sandwiches. Let's have 3 cups. Of cooked chicken breast, turkey breast, something like that. Be sure that it's still good, please, because I hate to say this. Let's have about 3 chopped cored apples. I like a lot of crunch. I like celery, too. Let's have about 4 stalks of celery chopped up real fine, right? It gives it a nice crunch and a nice sweetness between the apple and the celery. Let's have 4 hard-cooked eggs, peeled and chopped. Mm-hmm. 8 tablespoons of light mayonnaise or something of the equivalent, whatever you like. Around here, there's a crazy-ass thing called Miracle Whip Light. It's quite delicious, actually, in the salad. But it's got extra flavoring. It's called, not a mayonnaise, it's called a dressing. But some sort of a mayonnaise-y type object that you would like to have in your chicken salad. I'm going to use light mayonnaise for what I recommend, right? A little bit of salt. Hey, guys, let's combine it. It's salad, right? Everything's cooked. Everything's done. Everything's delicious. Let's combine it all, give it a nice refrigeration so that it's nice and cold because it makes it more yummy, right? Mm-hmm. And there we have it. Be careful of the mayonnaise not to leave it in the room too long. Mm-hmm. And don't be careful of your protein product, I'm going to call it, your chicken, your turkey. I think this actually goes with ham very nicely, too. I haven't made it with anything else. Don't know. But you can use your discretion. But you can see that that's very simple. You mix it all together, and it's yummy. Should we do the lamb curry? Do we have time? Do we have 3 minutes? Kind of have 3 minutes. Let's do it. We might go smidge over. This is the adventure recipe. To me, it's an adventure recipe because in my area, curry is not something that everybody eats. It might be the safe recipe in your area. This is a global show. But it's the lamb curry. Let's have about 5 pounds of lamb shoulder that we're going to trim the fat from and cut into cubes. You know, to throw out the bones, right? Yeah. So get the fat off, cut it into cubes. About 3 tablespoons of olive oil. A nice chopped sweet onion. I like the Vidalia. I like something sweet. A couple tablespoons of flour, all-purpose flour. About 3 tablespoons of curry powder. Might be a little less depending on how strong you want it. 2 cups of chicken broth or beef broth. I like chicken broth a little better because I think the beef broth's a little salty for the lamb. Let's have about 3 tomatoes that we're going to chop up. 4 stalks of diced celery. 1 cup of whipping cream. Please do not substitute some sort of thin milk. 2 couple of apples that we're going to chop up also. I leave the peel on. You might like to peel them. Last time the peel came out, it got kind of funny. Rice in the rice cooker, right? For underneath it. It doesn't go in, but it's to the side, and all the condiments to the side. Okay, we've cut our lamb into cubes. We've trimmed the fat. We're going to brown it in the oil. We're going to get a Dutch oven, a big, large pan, a Dutch oven, and we're going to put the oil in it, make it hot, brown the lamb, all sides, about half at a time, third at a time, whatever will fit. Then we're going to cook the onion. We're going to put the lamb aside, right? We're going to cook the onion. Stir in the flour. Stir it around. Keep stirring it, 5 minutes, so that it doesn't get kind of clumpy. Stir in the curry powder. Stir, stir, stir. Keep going. Stir in the broth. Stir, stir, stir. And the chopped tomato and the celery. Bring the whole thing to a boil, because now you've got some liquid there because you've got the broth, right? Reduce the heat. Throw the meat back in. Right, because we're going to simmer the whole thing. And cover it. And let it cook, let it simmer, right, for about a couple of hours. You take a peek at it occasionally. Make sure that the meat is soft is the key to it, because you want it to be nice and tender. It's all nice and tender. It's all done, really. Now let's stir in the whipping cream, right? Give it a simmer uncovered for a couple of minutes just because the whipping cream is cold and you want everything to be really piping hot. Now let's put in the apple. Remember the apple that we talked about but we didn't put in, right? It's now because otherwise the apple falls apart. Stir it or give it a good stir around so it's all heated through. And we're done. Yay, team. It's fabulous. It's delicious. I serve all kinds of condiments on the side, like chutney and good things like that, because it's yummy. And I make it not too spicy, as you might note, because it is for the condiments. Because you can't take spice out, but you can add it in with your condiments. Yeah. Yes, people are asking about raisins. Yes, delightful. If I add raisins, I usually like the golden kind. It does go nice with the apple and the raisins. Yeah, it'll be fine together. Sometimes if I don't have apples, I throw in raisins instead. It's kind of like, oh, well, look, I'll throw a couple handfuls of those. But anyway, delicious. Serve the rice on the side. Everybody can take as much as they want in that way. My friends, we are out of time, but we did get to the recipes. I know I tried to keep time for them, because I know sometimes we go over a little bit and we don't quite get to them, and you guys like them. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for listening. If you want to find us, word recipe for peace now at gmail.com. Prior shows, they're archived on our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.